Peace. Welcome to Spears and Mics. I'm L1, and Spears and Mics is about hip hop culture, knowledge, and also the streets. And you know, I wanted to come on here today real quick. My co-host Just P and White Slice, peace to my brothers, just came on here real quick just to talk about Chef G. And so for those that don't know, Chef G is a so-called drill rapper out of Flatbush, Brooklyn, New York. And he recently was sentenced not too long ago to 5 years in prison, state time, for his participation in gangbanging and a couple of incidents where they say he was basically financing the A-Trey Gangsta Crips out in Brooklyn to do, you know, violence against like the GDs, the folks that's down there in Brooklyn. Those that's familiar with drill rap, there's a lot of different struggles in the streets between different gangs, usually involving like either the Crips versus the GDs or the Bloods versus the GDs or like the Woos or the Chos. You know what I'm saying? Which is like different alliances. It's like that the young, usually the younger gang members align themselves with out of like common enemies or whatever. So in certain cases, they'd be like in New York, Bloods and Crips will get together and war out with the GDs. You know what I'm saying? Usually around like Flatbush, Brooklyn or Canarsie, aka the Floss. And I don't think the GDs are necessarily even that big in Brooklyn. I know it's significant, you know what I'm saying? In certain neighborhoods, they're deep, but it's not as large as nowhere near as large as the Lokes and the Bloods, you know what I'm saying? Which are massive, you know what I'm saying? Real, real, real big. You know, basically now Chef G's in a situation where he's talking about he's being treated inhumanely at Marcy Correctional Facility, which is like kind of close. It's about 4.5 hours from New York City. So, you know, he's pretty far away from his family, friends. Got the 5 years, right, that he got to do up there. And then I think when he comes out, I think he has to do 5 years like supervision or some type of whether it be like a halfway house or parole, something. He has some type of thing basically where after that 5 years, he has to do like another 5 years, like limited and with restrictions and whatnot. But I feel bad hearing about the brother being abused, you know what I'm saying? If this is a matter of fact that he is being treated inhumanely, then it should be stopped, you know what I'm saying? And it should be investigated and it should be looked into. And those that are, whether it's correction officers or staff that's abusing this brother or treating him unfairly or inhumanely, you know, it should be investigated to the fullest. Because the brother has made mistakes doesn't mean that he should suffer. Right, he's already suffering in prison, right? He's not around his friends, he's not around his family, probably has no contact with females, of course. So it's already a struggle, right? You eating poor food, right? And, you know, I'm not going to take away from what he's done wrong, right? Because in society, when you make mistakes, you got to pay for it. It's a penalty. You know what I'm saying? And now he's doing that 5 years. But that doesn't mean that he has to get held out in the cold for 2 hours handcuffed. He's in a... allegedly, he's in a medical dorm where there's people that are struggling with like mental issues, and you know, they're throwing bottles of piss everywhere. So I could imagine, you know, when you're dealing with that type of situation, it's probably real heavy on the young brother. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I don't want to sympathize with the fact that the brother's been involved in some heinous situations and people are getting harmed out in Brooklyn, right? But I understand, you know, that, you know, it's not right for someone to be abused. You know, we all know that. right? You know, you could pay your debt to society. You could have a rough experience in there based on, you know, prison is not no walk in the park, but he has human rights and he should be treated accordingly. You know what I mean? But yo, one thing I do want to say to Chef G, you know what I'm saying? And really, like all the brothers in, you know, the drill scene, right? Y'all have talent, and you're blessed with this talent, right? And then y'all using the talent to get at other artists or other gangs in your neighborhood. Like, y'all not using the talent to escape the neighborhood. Y'all using the talent to fuel violence. And that's like opposite of what hip hop was created for, right? If the principles for hip hop is love, peace, unity, and having fun, but y'all using it for war, hate, destruction, you know what I'm saying? And that's not hip hop, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want to sound like an old head. I mean, I'm only 45, right? And being in Zulu, like I've had my fair share of shortcomings and struggles with violence, based on the fact that, you know, when you're in a street organization, people will come for you. People will try to knock your you know, knock your peace right out of here. Like, you could be about peace, you could be about knowledge, you could be about positive things, you could be on a different wavelength, but gangs will still come for you. And you know, we as Zulus, we believe in an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. You know what I'm saying? So we defend ourselves, right? But necessarily, when I was in the streets, we didn't go looking for violence. Everything was like, yo, you ran down on the Zulus, and then we gonna get the get back, you know, defend ourselves. But we were just like, the difference between us was like, and me in particular, was we would just let it be after a while, you know. I wasn't one that's gonna be like, yo, let's keep it going, let's keep it going, let's keep running down on them. Something happened to us, we go get the get back, usually with the hands, jump somebody, whatever, you know, depending on what happened, right? These brothers is just going like gun for gun, you know, and a lot of people is getting hurt out in the Bronx, out in Brooklyn. And it's like, yo, y'all really have to just refocus the energy, man. It's like, refocus it, man, because what's happening is y'all getting jammed up. Like, if you look at Chef G, you look at Tekashi, you look at the brother from the Bronx, forgot the young boy's name. I think he like half Puerto Rican, half black, caught that body in Harlem, I believe. You know, look at his situation. All these brothers had like a good buzz in hip hop, and then they lost it. Whether it's, you know, violence or, you know, getting caught up in harming somebody and then going to prison. You know what I'm saying? And that's it, man. You know, your wave is over, your career is over. I mean, you know, in the case of Chef G, he coming home in 5 years if, you know, if he survives, you know, his prison situation. You know what I mean? But what I think is like we need to look at like where all of these brothers is going. It hasn't been a successful, positive story for these young men. You know what I'm saying? Based on their affiliations. You know, I'm looking at like Coach the Ghost. You know, Coach the Ghost got like, I think he got like 70 years or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And you know, he's a gangster disciple. And them brothers, like I said, they warring with the Lokes, they warring with the Bloods. You know, you look at Envy Kane, I think he left the gang or got kicked out of the gang. He has some history where I think they said he's questionable. I really don't know, but I know he's like doing a little like a I don't want to say little, he's doing like a YouTube series now where he's talking about his stories and all of that. And I thought Envy Kane is a talented brother on a rap tip. You know what I'm saying? But Coach the Ghost is out of here, Chef G out of here. Casanova 2 times, out of here. You know what I'm saying? Tekashi 6ix9ine, ratted. You know what I'm saying? Got most of the bellies jammed up. You know what I mean? Now his mom's is you know, is his home getting invaded allegedly or supposedly, which I thought, you know what I'm saying, was kind of like I thought it was kind of staged. I'm gonna be real. Like it didn't look real. 'Cause like you dudes is too friendly with the mom, and I'm glad that, you know, she wasn't harmed or nothing like that, 'cause you know, what does she gotta do with any of this, right? But looking at the videos and the surveillance footage, like, you know, I know a lot of brothers. I know some Zulu brothers of mine that personally, their houses, their homes were raided, in their younger days, and they told me some horrific stories, man. Brothers getting tied up, pistol whipped, beat down, crib getting torn up, looking for bread, drugs, so on and so forth. So like, what type of home invasion was that? Where they just walking back and forth, like they got the pole out, and they just walking like real calm, like, you know what I'm saying? You see the dog, and dog wasn't even moved or bothered, right? So it's like when you see a dog walking back and forth calm, even if it's a little chihuahua, if the dog's gonna feel upset or angry or sense some type of danger, usually even a little dog will be barking and pacing back and forth and have anxiety. When you see that dog just walking back and forth calm like that, right? Like it's because he probably picks up on the scent of the people that's walking by. You know what I'm saying? Like he knows, the dog knew those alleged gunmen or home invaders or whatever they were. You know what I'm saying? Like, what was taken from that home? No reports of any loss, no money, no valuables. I don't think anything was taken. So what was that home invasion? It looks staged, bro. And I'm tired of this dude. Like, I really don't. I think your story's crazy. Like, you're so lucky to be alive and survive through all of the situations you've been through, Tekashi 6ix9ine. Like, you went through all of this, and you just be on Vlad, and you be on all these channels. Like bragging, no humility, no nothing humble about you. You just keep going and going and making it seem like I'm this tough guy. You know what I'm saying? Like I like you conquered the battle that you've been through. But like the reality of it is, I know you in fear of what's to come, and I don't blame you. Deep down, I think anybody would be in fear of what's gonna come. It's inevitable that at some point you're gonna get your TV turned off. You know what I'm saying? Peace to Hassan Campbell. You know what I'm saying? Like, and for what, man? Like, you know, at some point you have to grow. At some point you have to rise. At some point you have to show better in life. You know what I'm saying? Like, who I was in my 20s is not who I was in my 30s. Who I was in my 30s is not who I am now in my 40s. You know what I'm saying? And there's brothers that's wise beyond their years. There's youth that's wise beyond their years. And then there's youth that don't wanna be men. There's youth that don't wanna be men. And we that have influence, I'm talking about the brothers that's doing something positive, that come from the bottom, that come from rough beginnings or humble beginnings, or if we came out the mud, as some would say, right? And if you have some type of juice, power, influence over young ones in your community, whether you a gang member, gang leader, a positive working man that has respect in the community, whatever your role is in your community, you have to reach out to these youth that you see wilding. Like it's a duty. It's a duty. It's a duty that many of y'all want to walk away from and act like it's not your duty. But when you have success and you see those that are surrounded in, by you that are in need of a hand, and whether it's you telling somebody about job openings, you just walking by the young brother that you see that needs guidance, just taking a few minutes out and saying, "Yo, what's good with you, bro? You all right? Yo, I heard what happened to you the other day. Yo, that's wild. Yo, how you gonna get out of that situation?" You know what I'm saying? And that dialogue opens up a situation where, you know, he could tell you what his thoughts are, and if his thoughts on ain't on the right path or the right track, That's your opportunity to give that brother the necessary jewelry to put him on the right path. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not putting him on the right path, right? If you just we're a few. The righteous brothers are a few. There's very few of us in the neighborhood. So if you're not given the jewelry or the direction or, you know what I'm saying, given that balance, then what's left for the brother, right? Negativity, gangs, misdirection, destruction, stress, pain, a life of regrets. Most of the brothers that I know that was gang banging, like real serious with it, them brothers spent a long time in prison. Them brothers spent a long time trying to get it back together. And a lot of brothers never got it back together. That's the reality. Even in Zulu, I know hundreds and hundreds of members. I know a lot of brothers doing really good. Peace to them. For real. Makes me very happy when I see my Zulu brothers living a family life. You know what I'm saying? Makes me very happy. But there's a few brothers that struggle, right? Don't want to leave the streets alone. You know? And we can't force nobody's hand. We've given out the jewelry, and at a certain time, it's up to that brother to walk the path. But a lot of these young brothers that's doing the drill music, that's actively gangbanging in the community, they could be saved. They could be misdirected, you know, they could be redirected because they've already been misdirected, right? The big homies, the big whales. They really don't care about you, yo. They don't. I'm gonna be real with you. I know this, me personally. I know this for a fact. The elder Zulus, maybe a few of them, or maybe a good amount of them, but not all of them. They don't care. They did not care. They only care for what you could do for the organization. They only care and love you because you representing the brand. You representing the movement that's generating money some way, somehow, whether it's through functions, events, parties, merchandise, whatever it is. You representing that flag, that brand. So yeah, we love you, bro. Yeah, we love you, Aki. We love you, Zulu. You know what I'm saying? It's all love till it ain't. You know what I'm saying? 'Cause when you see something that's not right going down, and you take a stance, or you put your foot down, or you put a halt to the madness or the nonsense, and you're not participating, he ain't a real one. He ain't standing with us. Yeah, he's a chatty patty. He talking too much. He doing too much. Who does he think he is? Yeah, we don't know him. We never seen him. He not with us. Old girl. They start calling you these weird, funny names. You know what I'm saying? They start forgetting that they put the crown on top of your head and called you Zulu King, right? That's what happens in the gangs too. They forgot you was the big homie. They forgot that you had the most drops under you. They forgot that you built up the hood to what it is. You know what I'm saying? They forgot that you put in the most pain. Because it's not what you did. Dudes be in the gang 20, 30 years and did the most for the gang. And no one values it. No one cares what I did for Zulu in my 28 years with the organization. It's taken with a grain of salt. No one cares. Very few will honor my work, my resume, my dedication. The time that I put in pain and harm people for this, the amount of pain that was inflicted upon me in battle. Nobody cares about this. Nobody cares what you're doing in Brooklyn. Nobody cares what you're doing in the Bronx. You know why? Because I've been with a mob of Zulus from the Bronx. I've been with a mob of Zulus in Brooklyn. We've reigned terror on every gang there is back then, and even recent, real shit. We done put battle with everybody. And you know what people think? What's the perception of Zulu to these days? And I'm not even going to even include the scandal and how people feel about that. But the perception is Zulu is old school, is dead. That's the 90s. It's the 80s. It's the 70s. You could say that, right? And you like, yo, they washed. But what organization do you know that was standard in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the millennium, 2000s, the 2010s, and still here, 2020s? There's nobody. You know, aside from, of course, you know, the like the outlaw organizations, the street organizations, like Black Spades, the Dirty Ones, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, Savage Goals, Savage Nomads, the Ghetto Brothers, of course, they're still functioning. They're still operating. I would say that Zulu was probably a lot larger than all of those movements to this day, right? But the perception is that Zulu is dead. And what I'm saying this to say to y'all is that one day your organization, it might not be like the particular, like let's say Blood or Crip, but the smaller unit, the set that might be in your particular neighborhood, it may not be recognized or revered or even respected. Because with time comes change, and that transition, nobody cares about the battles y'all did. Nobody cares about the work you put in. What they will remember is when you got locked up, because they like, yeah, when something went up top, I got his bitch. When something went up top, I got his custies. Made that bread. They will care about that. That's what matters to the snakes. Taking your money, taking your women. They don't care about your family. Let your seeds starve. Let your seeds look bummy. You know what I'm saying? They was at your baby shower celebrating. They was rolling loud. They had the Henny there. They was celebrating. They was saying, congrats, cuz, congrats, blood. But now you suffering in prison. And you out of sight, out of mind. And when you come home, you might struggle to find balance and get back on track. And them dudes, they might be up out of here. They might have moved somewhere else. They might turn into a fiend. They might have ratted on somebody and got excommunicated from the gang, thrown out. The streets is a rough life, man. The streets is rough. I look at it every day. I'm in the Bronx every day. And it overwhelms me what I see. When I see young people, younger than me, in their 20s, junkies, bent over, doped out, people on the floor, drunk at 7 a.m., people in the cold, barefoot, people on summer hot blocks, 90 degrees, barefoot, with very little clothes on, people pissing and shitting in the middle of the street on 125 in Lexington. In Harlem, people pissing and shitting in the street in broad daylight on 149th and 3rd Ave in the Bronx. It don't matter what you see and what you where you come from. I grew up in Brooklyn, right? Sunset Park, Brooklyn, Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, Sumner Houses. I've seen a lot of violence, a lot of crazy shit. Moved to Long Island, Huntington Station, New York. Wild gang violence, MS-13, local community gangs at war, all types of madness. But being in the Bronx every day, it'd be different. It's a lot. And you can never prepare yourself to see what people go through, the mental health, the struggles that people are experiencing, the poverty, the drugs, the violence. It's surrounded. It's surrounding you like a whirlwind of chaos. Life is already a big challenge, yo. Like, it will, like, a regular life will take you up out of here, give you a heart attack, give you stress, You know what I'm saying? But now y'all just amplifying all the drama, the chaos, the violence, you know? And I'm not trying to preach, because y'all gonna do what y'all wanna do. And y'all gonna experience it because y'all wanna taste it for yourselves. You wanna see what it's like. And you think you're gonna conquer the streets. You think you're gonna be undefeated. You think you're gonna rule the streets. You think you're gonna make a name for yourself. And you think you're gonna be one of the livest. No one talks about, like, in Brooklyn, right? Like, no one talks about the legends, really. Like, it's very seldom where people give honor to the legends. You know what I'm saying? And you know, while I get a moment, I want to salute the brothers from the Decepticons and the Low Lives, brothers from the Lost Boys, brothers from the Five Percenters, brothers from the Universal Zulu Nation, brothers from all of the classic, you know, street organizations from the 80s to 90s to 2000s that survived the chaos and the madness, because it was a different energy and a different vibe with these street organizations that I mentioned. It wasn't necessarily based on chaos, destruction, death. There was a lot going on in these organizations, don't get me wrong. A lot of things that weren't right and exact going on in these organizations, but there was more of a balance with them. There was more of a structure, more of a guidance. And that's why them brothers, a lot of them survived. They may not all be doing well, you know what I'm saying? But they survived it. And most of them is on a different wavelength, representing in a different manner. They might still be Decepticon. They might still be Low Life. They might still be Zulu, Lost Boy. You know what I'm saying? But they representing it to the best of their ability in a more positive fashion. You know what I mean? Like, when I look at the Low Lives and I see them, I see Thurston Howell, aka Vic Lowe, and I see him in the polo ads with a bunch of squares, nerds. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, that's Brownsville, Brooklyn. That's Vic Lowe, the founder of the Low Lives. In a Ralph Lauren polo advertisement. And you could see there's a difference between him and the rest of the models. You could see the street. That brother single-handedly, with the rest of the brothers from Brownsville and Crown Heights and all the Low Lives, popularized polo. And there's youth in New York right now that don't even know their story. They wear low every day and don't know their story. I'll be telling the young ones, like, yo, how you don't know who Vic Lowe and Rack Lowe are? You know what I'm saying? How you don't know about the Decepticons? How you don't know the history of the Lost Boys? All y'all know is this blood Crip stuff. Y'all don't know about the Five Percenters. Y'all don't know about the Zulu Nation. Y'all don't know about the Young Lords. Y'all don't know about the Black Panthers. You don't know who Marcus Garvey is. You don't know who Malcolm X is. All you know is the bozos, the ones that's misleading. Young brothers know who OG Mac is, but don't know who Malcolm X is. Crazy. So what I'm just saying is, and I'm gonna wrap it up, what you doing for the gang in Brooklyn and the Bronx doesn't mean nothing. No one is gonna care. No one will care how much pain you put in, how much pain you put into the streets. What you did for the gang will only be honored by your crimies that's next to you in your immediate circle. And you won't even satisfy everybody, because people will still criticize you and say you could have did more. And when it's all said and done, and you can't even walk in the streets because the beef is so thick, you can't even go pick up your seeds in a certain neighborhood because you're scared of walking around with your seeds, because it might be time to boom you. Is it worth it? Is it worth it that the first thing you got to do when you get money is try to get out the hood? I mean, that's should be the goal. You should be moving out the hood with any bit of success that you have. But then you worried about what people thinking about you. Who cares what people think about you? Worry about how your mom, your father, your cousins, your sisters, your aunties, your uncles, and most importantly, worry about your seeds. What's their perception of their father? Worry about that. Worry about how your children will hear the stories of how much foul shit you did to their mom. How much lack of effort you put into being a father. Worry about that. Worry about your faith. Worry about the energy that you bring into your home. Do you want to see your children every day, or do you want to see them every other week? When you retire, do you want to have a 401k and Social Security, or do you think the hustle is going to allow you to stack enough bread that when you're 70 years old, God willing, inshallah, if you see 70 years old, that you're going to have enough bread stacked up from when you was 20 and 30 years old and 40 years old? You're going to have enough bread to get you through? A decent job is making 100K now a year, and you just making it. You think you're going to have 100K from when you 65, 70, just blowing through 100K every year? It takes money to live, man. Y'all got to find a way to get successful. When I think about the Zulu Nation laws, right? The first law was Zulu Nation is no gang. It's an organization of individuals in search of success, peace, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and the righteous way of life. You could say whatever you want about Zulu. We have our faults, and there's a lot of stuff that we needed to improve upon, and we're striving right now, right? But when I heard that law as a youth, I strive to stay in line with it. It's no gang, right? So I knew I couldn't represent it like a gang. I knew that I had to strive for the righteous way of life. I knew that I had to be successful. So that's why I strived to teach that to the Zulus that was up under my wings. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the energy that y'all need to bring about balance and direction. And when you have that direction, you will be on the path towards the right way. It ain't an easy way, it ain't an easy path, but it's a better path to strive for and walk than the other path towards death, destruction, violence, and pain. That's all I gotta say, man. All you drill rappers, man, get your life together. Don't worry about how the gang views you. Worry how your seeds view you. Salute. Peace. Zulu King L1. Spears and Mics.